This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp, where there's a lot of delicious food. Mike is full for now, but he's getting ready for the Napalm Challenge at 120. Also, in case you missed the big news of the day, Cowboys right guard Zach Martin is going to have season-ending surgery per Mike McCarthy. Mickey said he thinks they'll get the opportunity to talk with Zach Martin later. I'm not saying, Corey, like necessarily this is going to happen, but obviously the question's going to come up unless Zach Martin starts a statement by saying, if you're going to ask me if my career is over, I'm going to wait till the surgery. But like that question is going to get asked. And so I'm just curious how he handles that on what's got to be a really, really tough day for
him. And that's
him.
The easiest way to answer that question, right?
Yeah, sure.
To be like, look, let me get to that first. Kind of McCarthy's already said that. It's all about the surgery right now. So I think that would be the easiest way to answer that and say, once I know that, I'll have a better understanding of what my rehab's going to look like and what kind of shape I'll be in after that. But I guess the question beyond that, Kevin, is tomorrow we'll have Jerry Jones on.
Yep.
Do you want to bring him back? The contract's up. Do you want to bring him back, understanding where things are right now? You know, I think that – I don't know if that's a – that seems like a fair question.
I need to look into some of that more because logistically, the way they do those void years, I do still think it's way more beneficial for them to have him back for next year than just let him walk and take the $17 million hit.
Yeah, and, you know, Jerry likes to have his collection, you know, of players that are his guys that never leave here. So.
And I just wanted to mention one more thing about the atmosphere out here. It's been a lot of fun. Chia Follow's out here right now. We had the morning show guys out here for a couple hours. There was a mail truck here that was so excited to see us that they backed up and knocked down one of the signs.
But it's on springs we found.
He didn't even know.
I didn't know that at the time because Ruben looked at me and he goes, oh, crap. And I looked over and that sign was just down because the mail truck had backed into it. But you see it. Like, we could see it right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's standing upright just fine. It probably got some of that tea. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, it was for the nighttime situation. It was hanging down there and...
What are you saying, Kevin?
Come on. You've heard his commercials.
I know what he's talking about. I heard him a couple weeks ago when I was out on that Friday talking about his situation down there.
No.
I don't know if gravity can – like, gravity hurts you pretty much, right?
So if you run a mail department in this area and you have a dent on one of your vehicles,
10-pound weight down there.
Kevin just wanted you to know that we know who the guy is.
Yeah, I mean
– is that what you're saying? He's a Tolo, dude. We don't
I didn't say I was going to sell him out. Look – you've seen sensitive information around the station has come out in the last year or so. I was in the car with the three people who knew it. They all knew I knew it. I refused to admit that I knew it until somebody in the car repeated it to me. And I was like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to talk about the Mavericks here because I was doing a little study. I just want to start with this. Are we all happy with the job that the Mavericks have done thus far this season?
Yes.
And
that's it.
Especially, obviously, the last 10 games.
Okay, Mike,
will you
walk me through it? Because you were like, hey, we might not be above 500 until January, and you've got to be pumped with the way it's been going.
At 5-7, your best player on the team was not engaging in the season.
Yep.
And I didn't get it. I didn't get why Luka was like, in a weird way, it felt like I don't care about basketball anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, what is going on? Why is he not engaging? I get, like, there's a game here and there that you're tired, but he just didn't seem to want to play basketball anymore the way he was playing. And then he got hurt. And now he's come back, and these two games have been great. But when he kind of went out, it was like that the team came together and said, we're going to play hard, good quality basketball. And they're going to lose more games. I get it. They're not going to win 9 out of 10 every 10 games they play.
But they did win 5 out of 6 without Lucas.
Yeah, and you watch this and you're just like, okay, this is the team I remember that went through the Western Conference.
Yep.
Obviously, they got beat by a better team. Boston was a way better team.
Sure.
Nobody was going to beat Boston last year, and the Mavericks didn't come close to beating them. But now, watching them play the last 2.5, 3 weeks, man, I don't know what else you could ask from these guys. Guys are stepping up. They're doing more than you thought they could do. I mean, I'll ask you this, Corey. Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing more than we ever thought they could be possibly capable of.
Yeah, when it comes to Najee Marshall, Kevin, you know, I thought of him as a 3-and-D guy, put him in a corner, and that'll be it. But
he's more versatility offensively
than
I thought.
He's shooting from everywhere on the court, for one, but he also has the ability to fast break. He's going. He doesn't slow it down at all. And whenever it comes to getting his own shot, you know, around the basket, he can do that well. So I didn't expect that. But then he's a really good defender. And I'm not saying, like, really good as in, oh, it feels like you didn't drop off enough from Derrick Jones Jr. You feel like you're still there. And then Quentin Grimes, he's finding his place. I saw somebody earlier on Twitter said he's the LeBron James of Josh Green's. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes some sense.
What,
like,
a fascinating description. I want to follow that person. That's very clever.
He's a better version of Josh Green. He still has some moments where you're like, what? But at the same time, his defense, his effort, and his ability to shoot is coming in well, and he fits in. He looks like you can see when guys are making the smart play, how other guys respond to it, and that smart pass usually ends up being a bucket.
And if we can add one more person, let's be honest, Spencer Dinwiddie's already bringing more than I think any of us anticipated. That was more than I anticipated.
You know, Mike, we discussed that a little bit earlier this week with his turnovers have just decreased so exponentially, and his assists have gone up.
40 assists, 6 turnovers in, like, the streak.
That's remarkable. So almost 7-1.
Yeah, when he was starting for Luke,
yeah.
I think was the number of, like, 40 in 8 games. I think it was 40 assists and 6 turnovers.
Yeah, if you're giving me less than a turnover a game, rock on.
And especially since he was handling the ball so much in that time too. But the other thing too on that is when you're a guy like Dinwiddie, when you're on a roster that is this full, you can be that far down on the depth chart and still be a good contributor.
You mentioned Josh Green. The only other person that was let go off of the team, and not let go, he signed with another team, is Derrick Jones Jr. Do you miss either one of those guys at all? Why or why not?
There are times when I still miss Derrick Jones Jr. just because I like
his ability to fly.
Yeah, I love the size and the athleticism. And I'm not saying you haven't replaced certain aspects of it defensively and stuff.
Yeah.
There's still a time or two that I'm like, oh, I could use that right
now. Yeah, I'm with you. I just wanted to kind of throw that out.
But otherwise, not really.
Yeah, now let me ask you this. We've talked about a lot of the positives, and I'm with you on all of it. I'm going to bring up, I don't even know if I want to say negatives, but I'm going to go the opposite of positive here and ask you about two other guys on this team.
Yep.
Klay Thompson and Jaden Hardy. What are your thoughts so far of trying to work in Klay Thompson on this team? I know it's still early in that progression of playing in one style, one team for a decade. And then the lack of progression, I guess I will say, because I am a Hardy fan. He's had moments this year, but he has disappointed me in the kind of 21 games he's been available.
Okay, I need a clarification on that part. He has disappointed you, or the Mavs' usage of him has disappointed?
Both.
Okay.
I think they wanted to use Hardy more, but he
shoots himself in the foot sometimes,
to stay on the court. And then what happened? Spencer Dinwiddie took over those minutes, and we just talked about how pleasantly surprised we are of Spencer Dinwiddie. But the
minutes come from somewhere.
He
and
took
they come
advantage
from
of his opportunity. I think they tried to give that opportunity to Hardy, and he did not play well enough to keep those minutes.
I did see, by the way, somebody mentioned that he is eligible for trade. There was something in his contract where people were like, no, he can't
Hardy.
Be. But he actually is. So that is still an option.
He makes
option
such little
there.
Money. He doesn't.
He's a
he's like somebody wants him because like we have minutes for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't get you to that $40 million number you need.
That's true. I mean, I believe it or not, when we always complain about that, he is somebody that could help you pick up draft assets.
Yeah.
That's what you were looking for. For Klay Thompson, I don't necessarily want you to take this question in the most literal sense. But have you kind of forgotten a couple of times that he's on the team?
A little bit.
Okay. And, like, I know we're aware that he's still on the team, and obviously he's been dealing with the plantar fascia. But there are some times when it's kind of balanced out by the positive and negative, right? Like, some of the contributions, whether it's Dinwiddie, Grimes, Marshall, whether it's just the continued evolution of Lively and Gafford together, that you kind of are like, oh, yeah, we have one of the greatest pure shooters in the history of basketball. He has struggled, and then obvious, he's really struggled past like the first four games, and then he's had injuries. So that has been disappointing.
You know, one of the moments that I know he's on the court the most or whenever he does get the ball for a three-pointer, because the crowd goes nuts. They're ready.
Like
they're,
I could see that.
They're ready to crack open for Klay and just be like, yes, that's the guy that we know. And for him to have one of those hot nights or a few of those hot nights consecutively, I still think he does a good job defensively on the team. And I think, again, I say smart play because sometimes the ball touches his hand and you think he's going to shoot the three. And he's like, no, that's not the right one right now. And he ends up getting the play that leads to the assist or the play that leads to the points.
Yeah, and I guess I want to say disappointing is too strong of a word because he's had nice moments. He's averaging 12.7. I wanted to look it up. 3.5 rebounds. Assist is at 1.9. You know, he's been all right. It's not that he's been a negative player on your team.
Yeah.
Maybe we were just hoping for him to.
I just think those stats are kind of front-loaded, too. Like, I kind of disagree with you a little bit on this, Mike. That's why I'm just speaking for me. I'm going to be say disappointed because I thought he came out to such a hot start. That's padded some of those numbers at least a little bit.
Okay.
We don't have to agree
on
that.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm
an old-fashioned showdown right here.
No.
I love it.
Happy
Mike's
going to
leave the show.
I just don't want to make it sound like he looks like Josh Richardson when we had him.
No, I know. I'm not saying
that.
No.
You know, the dude who had a brother who played in the league, he had two triple-doubles on Memphis against us. So we're like, let's give him $30 million. He had two good games in his life.
Yeah.
And they were both against us. I forget his name.
Now, I want to talk about one more thing that has been undeniably the most negative part about this season that have they started to turn the corner on this. The Mavericks in clutch time, all right? That was the crux of a lot of these issues. Like, that four-game losing streak, they lost those games by a combined 8 points. And you can be like, oh, you're really close. Or you can be like, hey, you're struggling in clutch time. They were tied for the league lead for most clutch losses this season. What is a clutch loss? That is a loss where the game was within 5 points in the final 5 minutes. Take a look at these last three games, especially the last two against the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies. Against the Jazz, all right, you're up by five with 7 minutes to go. So the game's still there to be had. Mavericks outscore them by 7 points to close it out, all right? You go back to the Trailblazers game. These last two games are really where you've seen it. It's 127-127. There's less than 2 minutes to go. This is a situation where we've seen the Mavericks lose again and again and again this year. What happens? They go on a...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
10-4 run, they get a turnover, and they give up no offensive rebounds. And the reason why I wanted to bring up those two things is, and I know you guys both know this, you can look at those clutch situations, and what are they marred by? Other teams picking up offensive rebounds and turning over the ball. You saw that time and time again. And then take a look at the Grizzlies game. Obviously, we talked about that a lot yesterday, I think. It's 18-5 to close out the game for the Mavericks, including a 13-0 run.
It was awesome.
So the last three games have all been tight-ish, but especially these last two. And in clutch time, you have seen the Mavericks not turn over the ball and not give up offensive rebounds, and that is why they've been closing these games out, or at least one of the reasons why they've been closing these games out.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it, making sure that they're secure in that, because they know they have guys that can score.
But Kevin, the
thing that PJ kind of mentioned regarding a little bit of that yesterday was, we knew it would take time to get everybody in order.
True.
You know, he was like, they were still trying to figure things out. We feel like we're starting to get on that page where you don't have to think anymore. You can just react the way you're supposed to.
Is there a sample size, I don't know if it's the rest of this calendar year or whatever, that you're like, okay, I feel more comfortable in these clutch game situations? Because I'm telling you, it's 2 to 3 games. Like, no one's going to base your entire season off of that trajectory. I am hopeful that this is the step in the right direction.
No, I'm hopeful that they're going to be another really good clutch team, because most teams don't have 2 guys to go to.
True.
Oklahoma City has 1 guy to go to. And yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. Shea is a great guy. Denver has 1 guy to go to. Minnesota has 1 guy to go to. When you start going down, I'll argue this. Phoenix has 1 guy to go to. I think Devin Booker craps his pants in big time clutch situations.
Right.
I get he's made big shots. I get he's Team USA. I get his resume. I get he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. I would be kind of nervous if I'm relying on Devin Booker to take me to the next level. I think Kevin Durant is still on that level, but he's like on.
And then he just got hurt again, yeah.
Yeah, so like most teams have 1 guy if they're a really good team to go to. The Mavs have 2 in these situations, and other guys have stepped up and made big shots based off of clean looks that Kyrie and Luka have given them. PJ Washington, Spencer Dinwiddie lately. So I feel good about this team in clutch situations, but obviously after 12 games, I wasn't. I am now.
Big 3-pointers.
So it's changed already.
Yeah.
Big 3-pointers. Are they drawing anything up for Clay, or is it always going to be Kyrie and Luka?
Okay, so here's something I just thought about with Clay, and that's partially because of people that were weighing in on the fan text. I saw at least a couple of people go, wait till the playoffs. And that is one thing that we did talk about before the season, is this something that you're not really going to see the benefit of? Oh, like the real benefit of
until
the playoffs. And if that's the case, that's fine too.
We interviewed Robert Horry about this, right?
Yep.
If I'm remembering to start the season, because it was the San Antonio game, so we're getting to interview Robert Horry. I asked him the specific question of how long will it take Klay Thompson to get used to this? I don't think people understand when you've played your whole life of basketball one way.
Sure.
They play with ball movement and movement off the ball. The Mavericks don't do a lot of that. They've added a little bit more of that, which I'm happy with. But he is trying to play a brand new style of basketball at 35 years old, 34 years old. That's not easy to do.
No.
You know, tell somebody that has run, I don't know, I'm just going to compare it to football since everybody's a football fan. All right, we pass the ball 48 times a game. You get traded to a team and you're near the end of your career and they're like, here's what we do. We run the ball 30 times and we pass it about 25. Well, S, man, I usually run like 40 different routes a game. Now now I'm only going to run, and we lower the tree on the routes you're going to run because of your age. You're not able to do these certain things anymore, so we've eliminated this from your route tree. All right, like
you. That's going to be difficult. Yeah.
So Clay is regressing. He's also learning a new system. And Robert Horry, I want to say, did he say 40 or did he? Do you remember?
I thought it was like 20 or 30, but yeah. I don't really remember.
And he said a lot longer than than we thought, though.
So probably more than 20 or 30.
Because we would probably say 25, and he went further than that. Yeah. So, yeah, it was almost
40. Maybe you're right.
And I remember Vince Carter talking about it on ESPN, 61. And I think probably around the All-Star break is the way Vince Carter – the reason I asked that question, I remember Vince Carter saying maybe around the All-Star break is when he expects Clay to get used to playing off of Luka.
All that being said, there's a lot of positive to like.
Great thing is, let's just say Clay Thompson doesn't work out.
You're good.
It seems like you're still in really good shape if he's a dude who only plays 20 minutes a night and doesn't play the last 6 minutes of games.
And you should win by a million points tonight. We're the KNC masterpiece, the Wizards.
Oh, yeah, the Wiz Kids.
They suck.
Who's the moron who chose to – he's like, I want to be on a horse-ass team the rest of my life so I can score 20 points a game. What was that moron's name? He's on the Wizards.
John Wall?
No, he hates Dinwiddie.
Gilbert Arenas?
He's a 6'9" dude who sucks on good teams.
Kuzma.
Yeah, the Mavericks wanted him. He's like, I don't want to play for them. They're good at basketball. I want to be on the worst team possible
That's what he said.
That's what was in his heart. He might have said it in another way, but he's like, I like playing on miserable teams that I can score 20 points on. I want to be the best player on the worst team in the world.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through Kuzma. The fan. Coming up next, live from Palmer's off of Mockingbird in Dallas, we move into the lunch rush and the expressway. We'll do some Mike Likes It, but also some NFL overreaction or reality. Next, right here on The Fan.
Wilson sets. It's a moon ball, and it's caught by Pickens. Russell Wilson, so much confidence when he goes downfield to George Pickens, and they hit on a 36-yard pass play.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. We're live at Palmer's in Dallas off of Mockingbird. And, Mike, do you want to share your story that you told about the Met suite, or is that an off-air conversation?
I feel like I've told that story before, but sometimes when you feel like, oh, I just stuck my foot in my mouth.
Which is what just happened. We have some lovely people up here, and we're giving away the Tolo Holiday Flask.
Yes.
I was talking with somebody else, then I jumped in on the conversation. This woman's husband brought her up, and it's a lovely surprise. And I was like, oh, yeah, did you want to get one of the flasks? And
both, super fan. Listens, yeah. Turns on even Sean and RJ in the morning.
Well, and both Corey and Mike go, she's 9 years sober. And I was like, son of a gun. I feel like such a jerk. I missed a key point of that conversation.
Yeah, good job.
And then, Mike, you told, whether you've heard this or not, this story has a shocking turn of events in it.
So when I was with the Mets in 2002, I was a starting pitcher. And sometimes if you're the starting pitcher, it's weird because I don't think the Rangers do this or did. Maybe they did. But they're like, hey, can you go up into a suite? We need you to go up into a suite at like 6 p.m. or 6:30 before the 7 o'clock game and just say hi to everybody and this and that. And that's all the information the New York Mets gave me. Like, hey, go up into a suite. Be a nice guy. Say hello to the Mets fans up there in the suite. So you're thinking, well, these are – maybe, you know, high rollers that, you know, are season ticket holders with the Mets and have a suite and everything. So I go up there and there's like four kids out of the 12 people in the suite. And I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. You guys play baseball. And man, how lucky are you? How did you get these tickets? And they're like, oh, yeah, they had family members die in September 11th. And that's why they were
what
in the suite.
What the hell?
Nobody for the Mets told me, when you go to the suite to meet all of these people, the reason that they're in this suite tonight is because approximately a year ago, they lost major family members in September 11th, Twin Towers. After we left the suite, I felt so horrible.
Yep.
Because those kids are mourning the loss of somebody very important in their lives.
Sure.
And nobody on the Mets let me know going into that suite. I would think that would be the number one thing to tell the player, hey, we want you to be cordial and nice and engaging, but let me tell you something.
Yep.
This is a September 11th situation. Thank you, New York Mets. I still root for them, though. They're still kind of my team, you know, Francisco Lindor and everything.
Mr. I gotcha. Smiles.
But, yeah, so that was the probably, you could argue I've stuck my foot in my mouth even.
Plenty of times, yeah.
I would argue that.
That was the one where I left going, I feel so bad for the question slash, like, situation I said, and they were probably like, you are heartless.
And in case you're wondering, that's the story Mike told me to cheer me up.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. It made you feel better.
It's a true story.
You know, and Mike, usually whenever he sticks his foot in his mouth, like in some way, he'll just be like, oh, well. You know, like that's usually the approach. So,
my goal is to get back to doing that. Not that I ever could.
Just saying, oh, well, and move
on.
Yeah,
is to get back into DDP yoga.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Feel the bang.
Yeah.
I know who Diamond Dallas Page is. All right.
You ever done DDP yoga?
No, I kind of want to, though.
I'll send you a code.
Okay, that would be great. NFL overreaction or reality? Let me start with this because we haven't talked about this game a whole lot, but it's a huge Thursday night football game tonight, and both teams are on regular rest because they both played last Thursday.
Who would ever guess? I guess that Kansas City is fighting for home field advantage with still quite a few games to play.
Right.
But if you're 11-1, you probably feel like, well, we got the division wrapped up. Now we're fighting for the 1-2 seed.
And instead, you probably need to win tonight to, like, really keep that cushion there.
If Detroit loses this game, they could fall all the way, not tonight, but you could look at yourself going, dude, if we don't finish this thing off strong, we could be the 6th seed in the playoffs. Right now, they're the 1 seed for sure. They lose tonight. They lose one more game and lose tiebreakers to Green Bay and Minnesota. And I don't think this will happen.
I don't either.
You could fall from 1-6 in 2 weeks.
Are you hyped for this game tonight then? Especially because, not only because it's a big game, I think something that factors in, they're both on regular rest. I do think that's a big deal going into
it. Yeah, no, I mean, having regular rest from being on the Thanksgiving week last week, both of them played, is a big deal. But, man, yeah, it's two explosive offenses that are similar in style, too, except for Packers have one running back that they're like, hey, we got our bell cow. And Detroit has a couple different ones they can go to. But offensively, they got a litany of receivers that they're very confident in. Their defenses stand up whenever called upon. This is a tough football game. I know I'm going to talk maybe a little more in C-block about it, but the Hard Knocks AFC North that I'm watching right now is awesome because there's a brand of football that they play in that division. It's a little boring, but it's hard-nosed.
Yeah.
Well, you're seeing the same thing right now.
It feels like football for this time of year.
Yeah, and it's in the NFC North, that's two hard-nosed teams right now. I'm not saying the Vikings are that, but they are far more physical defensively than they've been in a while, and their offense is good. The Bears still have a really good defense too, but that is tough football to watch. I love it. And they can score and good defense.
This is Amazon tonight?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me ask you.
I mean, because.
Go ahead.
It's a great game.
It is.
I don't know if it trumps this one, though. Ninth grade basketball, Richland versus Bishop Lynch at Keller Middle School.
I would say, in terms of national appeal, it does trump that one. In terms of people in this restaurant, probably it still trumps that one. Yes. Let me ask you an AFC North question. I played a highlight of him coming back. Is overreaction reality? Russell Wilson is playing his way back into the Hall of Fame because it felt like he was a Hall of Famer, and then it felt like, ugh, he's not a Hall of Famer. Now, is he playing his way back into the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Did you ask that question?
No, I thought of this during when Pittsburgh won, and they put themselves in a great position, especially after Baltimore lost.
Yep.
I'm thinking to myself, not that, oh, that game or this season now puts them back into the Hall of Fame. But if he goes on a
AFC Championship game or Super Bowl or something.
If Pittsburgh averages 11 wins this year, next year, and the next year, and he's the quarterback for all three of those years, and they make an AFC Championship game, I won't even put him in the Super Bowl. I think it helps him out tremendously because I think he lost it. I think in Denver.
I do too.
He completely lost his Hall of Fame resume.
Let's just say they made the Super Bowl. Just this year, they make the Super Bowl. How much does that change your perspective?
It helps him out tremendously. Now, if he goes back to 6-11 next year, I'd be like, well, you know.
I mean, that's three Super Bowls.
You know what's interesting about what he lost in Denver is they didn't want him. I mean, like from the moment Sean Payton got there, he looked at that contract and was like, I can get out of this. I know how to get out of this. He's going to play poorly. We're going to be in a bad spot so we can get a good quarterback. I'm starting over there. I'm attaching myself to that, not this. So that was by design, I think, that he played poorly. He also wasn't good, but he's with a team right now that is built for him to look really good at the end of his career.
Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, every time I hear the
bonus
Defying Gravity song from Wicked, I think of that.
You think of Russell Wilson?
I think of Russell Wilson.
Do you want to hear him sing that song?
What's that?
Do you want to hear him sing you that song?
No, I don't.
What song?
Defying Gravity from Wicked, the movie. It's awesome.
It's like the tent pole song.
She hits
of that
the notes.
Movie.
Mm, perfect.
Is there how much? Is there more or less gravity in Oz?
Man, I don't.
I'd
know,
say the
Mike.
Same.
Yeah,
would be my thought.
All right.
Now, Joe Buck said something, and I'm going to ask Jerry Jones this tomorrow as well. He said he would love to have the Cowboys on Monday Night Football every single week.
Of course,
who
he
said
would.
This?
Joe Buck. And he said because they get eyeballs and because they've got the biggest star in the NFL, and his name is Jerry Jones.
Oh, I was like, nobody else has a star on their logo.
Yes, overreaction or reality, Jerry Jones is the biggest star in the NFL.
No.
He's been around the longest. I mean, like, that's another thing is he hasn't been going anywhere over these 30 years. And like him or love him, he's involved. He's Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
where like he's involved in
I
it all
see
the time.
Parallels between those two, for
you
sure.
Feel like you hate him, but he's also got this charm that you're like, oh man, he, you know, that was a nice thing there too. I understand. Like Mahomes is the biggest player. I think.
Can you name on one hand the players that are bigger than Jerry Jones?
Mahomes,
maybe Josh Allen, but to your point, it gets really tough.
Or like that's close to it.
Maybe Lamar Jackson.
Lamar's
I think
got
Aaron,
a lot
Aaron
of
Aaron Rodgers
love.
Has lost it now.
Yeah,
he probably maybe you could say had it. Until this whole Jets situation and not playing well. Obviously, Tom Brady at one point was.
I agree.
Does Dak?
No.
Does who?
Dak?
No.
I mean, he's the quarterback for the Cowboys.
No, I hear you.
Jerry's the face
I just don't
of his
think
franchise.
It's the same. And I kind of want to ask him about that tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be like, oh, me?
I was watching this. This morning. I don't know how it popped up. YouTube is fun. It popped up. It was Colin Cowherd and Dave Wannstedt on this interview about the Dallas Cowboys. And when did it all go bad? According to Dave Wannstedt, when did it all go bad? This was kind of Colin Cowherd's question. And Dave Wannstedt said he wants to say it was like 1991.
Wow.
Troy Aikman throws two interceptions in a game. He's like, he turned the ball over twice or three times. And Jimmy Johnson has a press conference. And Jimmy Johnson says, I don't care who you are on this team. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Jay Novacek. You turn the ball over two times. One, we're not going to win. And two, I don't know if you can play on my team. And then the press conference ended. And then Jimmy Johnson said, what is going on? Right across the hallway, they're setting up tables and chairs and everything. They said, Jerry Jones is about to hold the press conference. And so the first question was asked about Troy Aikman and his turnovers, and Jerry Jones said, everything is fine. We're great. Troy Aikman is great. And that's when Dave Wannstedt said Jimmy Johnson knew now he was not going to be the message to the players and the message of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry had undercut him. And now Jimmy was like, I have to watch what I say and everything because I don't trust him anymore. He's not going to allow me to be the face and the voice of this team.
Man, so this is a good point, Kevin. He doesn't have a jersey.
Doesn't he, though?
But he's the face, of the,
have all
he's
those
the face
jerseys.
Of the league.
Like,
no one has a Jerry Jones jersey, though.
I mean, I think he would
you
just...
You think when they buy a CeeDee Lamb jersey, it's the, oh, they're
100%,
buying the Cowboys
brand? I think that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
I think that he's like just smiles. If you were to tell him that, I think he'd smile and be like, sure. And that's all he would say.
Just like he did with the Tours. Thank you for writing that story, because we're going to sell out.
And real quick, I don't want to make this clear. Dave Wannstedt is a Jerry Jones fan. He was not just trashing Jerry Jones. There was a lot of positive about Jerry Jones, and he was like, I was there the first meeting because he was brought with Jimmy in. So there was a lot. But he was. They asked the question of, when did you notice that it changed? And he said that press conference is when Jerry Jones trumped the Jimmy Johnson press conference. And then kicked, I mean, he didn't say this, but I'm saying it, kicked Jimmy right in the nads as the voice of, this is our expectation, and I hold the players to my expectations. And Jerry said, don't you worry anymore, Troy and everybody. It's my expectations, and you're just fine.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Falcons signing Kirk Cousins was one of the worst decisions of the offseason. Now, Falcons have lost three games in a row. Since week 10, Kirk Cousins has completed 62.5% of his passes with no touchdowns and six interceptions.
Mm. Yeah, he's the kind of guy that will lose a couple of games for you in the season.
He will.
He sometimes is a reason you've won, you know, because you need a quarterback that can throw that. But he didn't look right, man. He didn't look right to start the season. He went through a really good stretch in the, for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden it all fell apart for him.
Was that a three-year deal?
I think it was four years.
Oh,
no. 4 year for 180.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get out of it like you can most of these eventually, but four for 180.
Yeah, and the GM, you know, whenever they got Penix, they were like,
no, it's Penix.
They said, yeah, it
that's how you say it.
He said, if he doesn't play, that's great for us because that means Cousins is playing well. Well, he's not now. So now what do you do?
Yeah.
And if that team, if they might fall out of position in the NFC South. Are they going to turn it over to the rookie here? I think it might be a good opportunity to go ahead and do that.
I wonder if you just say, I know this would stink, but as the owner, or I guess general manager, you did both, so it's confusing. Do you go, well, we can't get worse. Like, let's say I put in Penix and he throws three interceptions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let's go back to Kirk Cousins. Yeah. He's just as bad as.
Do you just worry about the confidence of your player by, like, going in, going out, going in, going out?
Yes.
Okay.
The one thing that I don't know is, who does the general manager like more?
I bet the general manager likes Penix more.
The younger, cheaper option.
He gave a quarterback a 4-year huge contract.
That's true. They did that first, and then they were like, oh, this guy's available?
Yeah.
Well, of course he's available. You overdrafted him.
Mm-hmm. Well, but also with the idea that if it doesn't go well with Kirk Cousins, Achilles is hard to come off of.
Sure.
That's a hard injury to recover from and be the same person. So they did know, but they also were like, we're going to have a quarterback anyway to go along with Bijan, because Bijan and Pitts, they're ready now. Drake London, that offense is ready now.
All right, at least one more for you, if you don't mind. NFL overreaction or reality. Corey, I'm going to start with you on this one if we can. You believe the Chiefs get preferential treatment from the referees. Now, I know this is big on social media, and inevitably, if you win, people will find a thing that they don't like about
you. Yes. I think it's overreaction.
Okay.
Because I mean, for the longest time, I was always like, man, the refs are against the Cowboys. It did feel that way. And maybe they did have a bias, like refs do against Luka. You know, like maybe there was a little bit of that going on. But I don't understand why the refs are like, we've chosen this as the team that we're going to support. Like, what's the purpose for it? Do they treat them better at home games? They get better stuff? I don't know why. Like, I don't understand why they would get that preferential treatment. Other than maybe Michael Jordan got the Jordan calls.
Well, and here's the deal. This is where I think it's really different, because I was thinking about this. In the NBA, it's intentional. David Stern set up a whole bunch of things that helped out the NBA, but maybe for the fairness of the game wasn't the best.
Yeah.
But he's like, we're going to put Magic Johnson and Larry Bird on every national game. This is the only two teams people care about. These are the only two players people care about for a while. Obviously, things started changing with Michael Jordan, but you look at it, and he decided, we're going to be beneficial to our superstars. We need them advancing in the playoffs. We need these. You don't fix it like he fixed the 06 finals, David Stern, but you do it where you push it in a certain direction to make it easier for your most popular teams to make it. Because remember, nobody's watching the NBA. I would say in the NFL, if they needed to fix things, guess what?
You'd fix it for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'd be like, you wouldn't fix it for the Chiefs. And I get the Chiefs do have the best player, I think, in the world, at least quarterback.
And Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but I guess you'd say you'd be fixing it before then, too?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just wonder if that's like a theory. That feels like a theory, right?
Well, now you got Steinfeld or whatever
her
name is.
Yeah, with the Bills. You got two powerhouse. Really,
that doesn't seem to move the needle at all for people.
Two powerhouse.
Taylor Swift really does.
I just don't think they do. If they did, you would run into the great Lakers situation, and you would get the Cowboys getting pushed more into a favorable position on 50-50 calls, or let's just call pass interference to get the Cowboys going here.
All right, there you go. NFL overreaction reality. Maybe we'll trot some more of that out tomorrow. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I do believe it's time for some Mike Likes It.
Well, hopefully, as we get into Mike Likes It, we're going to have our pal Jared Sandler on. We're going to talk about his charity event, the Sandlot Charities, this Sunday, so people can understand what's going on there. But until we get Jared Sandler, is Jared here or no? I assume. Yes?
Not yet.
So let me ask you this. Since you were asking about the beneficial question to the Chiefs, because I don't want to get into a whole other thing that would take.
They have 68 penalties called against them this year. They're like top five. What's
the easiest game to fix? If you were reffing,
basketball.
I think basketball.
Boxing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Because I can control the fouls. All
right. Having Jared Sandler on right now. Hey, Sandman, answer that question, and then we'll get into Sandlot charities. What do you think as a referee would be the easiest game to fix that people would struggle with the most that you fixed it?
Of, like, the major sports?
Yeah, I guess of the major sports.
Well, I mean, we've seen it done in basketball, so that's my first instinct. But, I mean, you can call holding, like, whenever you want in the NFL. Yep. Like, who's going to say anything, right? But then in baseball, umps can do whatever they want, and they don't get penalized or punished. At least in the NFL, it does seem like there's some sort of merit system that's in place. But in Major League Baseball, the umpires union essentially doesn't allow that. So you could be the worst at calling balls and strikes, and it'll take you 20 years before they force you out of a job like Angel Hernandez. So I guess probably baseball, as long as the automated balls and strike system, even when it's instilled, doesn't cover every single pitch. If it's a challenge-based system, I don't think it's going to be the amount of challenges. So let's go baseball.
Okay. Well, Sandman, let's talk about the Sandlot Charities. Obviously, we have a really fun big event this Sunday afternoon that we'll all be, all of you know, the 105.3 The Fan will be there. A lot of Texas Rangers will be there. Give the information needed so somebody can give us $1,500 to hang out with us on Sunday.
Yeah, man.
Jeez.
Yeah. So right now you guys are bringing up the rear, but you guys always, I feel like, have a strong push on Friday.
True.
We can get that started early today. So first of all, that package, you can DM Alex. Well, I'm in the Alex DM, but I think Alex might be single, so he appreciates a good DM slide. Or you can call 877-881-1053 if you want to talk to Alex. You can place your bid. And it comes with, so it's, you get six tickets, right? You get to be at the table with you guys. But because this event, unlike the Topgolf event, it's not as, like, sedentary where you're, you know, the Topgolf, you'd be at a bay and they'd be with you guys for the entire event. You know, there's a lot of events and games and activities, and we don't, you know, want people moving around having a good time. So to get to spend time with you guys, it also comes with an in-studio visit at a mutually agreed-upon date, and then two tickets to an upcoming Rangers game that will obviously go to the person who places the bid. So that's the package. And then the event itself, guys, I mean, you know, I think we transitioned from Topgolf to the ballpark, and it's an event that's, you know, fit for people really of all ages. There's stuff for the little ones, face painting, bounce house, stuff to keep them busy, and then all sorts of different games and activities that cover the entire outfield. And the new one this year, and I put this challenge to Sean, RJ, and Bobby and Peyton earlier this morning,
yes,
and I'll do the same to you guys. the three-point shootout. I'd love to know. I'd love to get all of you guys to do this and see who has the highest score. But basically, you know, our idea is we've got this massive space. What are some things we can do that you can't typically do with a much smaller space? And so, yeah, you can go to the fair and shoot in those, like, rigged hoops. But I've always wanted to do, like, a three-point NBA-style, like, three-point shootout. So we're going to have that. We'll have our wiffle ball home run derby. We'll have, you know, soccer, football, all the different sports covered with different games and activities. And there are tickets available. If you go to my Twitter, at Jared Sandler, the link's posted there.
Yeah, I want to be in that three-point contest, by the way. I want our show to win it this year. I've decided.
So if you guys had a power rank the three-point shooters on the, like, between the, you know, you guys, G-Bag and Sean and RJ, like, I think Bassick probably number one, right? I mean, he's still not great at moving, but he can stand and shoot and then shuffle to the next rack. But who's number two?
I'll go with Kevin. I've seen him play big balls before, and
it's,
I was very surprised.
Yeah.
It is about geometry more than anything else. And I don't know if is there a ball. Do y'all have a ball the size for Sean's hands? Like, that's going to be a big factor there.
We're going to give him the WNBA ball.
WNBA ball, yeah, that's an option. But I know Dawson, he played for a while, and he talked about playing in, like, some pro-am games. So
I played with Dawson. Unfortunately, his favorite player was Clyde Drexler, and he shoots the ball like an effing rocket at the rim. It gets 2 inches, like Clyde Drexler, it gets 2 inches above the rim, and then he's hoping that the gravity, right when it gets to the front of the rim, then goes down and into the basket. And Clyde perfected that. And I think Gavin Dawson, growing up watching Clyde shoot, is a very Clyde Drexler-like shooter.
Yeah, maybe that. And then I'll fit in there somewhere in the middle. I'll make my fair share of. But I think
who
I'm really
last.
What's that?
Who will finish last?
Oh, maybe.
Bobby
Belt.
Bobby.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, let's say Bobby. Yeah, that sounds like a good one there.
What do you think?
Hey, Jared, I wanted to ask you about Luis Severino signing with the A's, and that is a significant contract for a guy like that. Isn't that kind of like, hey, I know we're moving and everything, and sorry we never signed players for you back then, but here we are now?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I love it and I hate it. I hate it for the fans in Oakland who are like, what the heck? Like, where was this? Like, we had some really good teams, but I don't like teams that don't spend. I appreciate that every team works within their own budget, and yeah, it's commendable that the A's, the Rays find ways to compete without the same budget, but I'd much rather them be owned by someone or a group that is willing to spend more money. I think that's better for the game, and so I'm glad to see that the A's organization is spending. And here's the thing, guys, as we think of it through a Rangers lens, I think Bassick and I had these conversations towards the end of last year. The A's are legitimate contenders to win the AL West next year. They have a pretty good foundation that they're bringing back. And if some of their young guys continue to improve, a guy like Lawrence Butler, that is not going to be an easy lineup to navigate. I'm not saying that they're going to be picked to win the division, but they can also pitch the ball a little bit. And adding a guy like Luis Severino helps their rotation in a big way if he can stay healthy. So I do not sleep on the A's as we look ahead towards the 2025 season.
Will the A's be able to pay their payroll in a couple of years when the price of the stadium continues to go up?
I saw that. I've been told by people that no, Las Vegas is definitely happening. You know, don't take the lack of finality on certain things as a sign that it's not. But I don't know until we know for sure. I don't know. That's a great question. It just, the whole situation was botched. The fact that they're going to have to be playing in a AAA park for, you know, multiple years. I mean, Tampa Bay situation is understandable. That is due to a natural disaster. That is a terrible and unfortunate situation. This is not. This is due to a disaster in ownership. And you reap what you sow to some degree. But, I think it is. Can I say that I think it's kind of funny that, you know, the price tag keeps going up? Was it $750 million, like, more than what they anticipated or something? Like, it's absurd.
Now, obviously, a lot of people are talking about the Juan Soto deal. We talked about this a little bit earlier, especially if they do, you know, the Devers team up and obviously add another one there. Are you surprised that so much money? I know he's an elite, elite hitter. Are you surprised that if it's the Red Sox, they would be willing to shell out so much money for a group of subpar defenders?
Yeah, so this is where I think, just like in any sport, you really have to consider the roster. And, you know, the strengths of your roster might allow you to make certain decisions. Now, there is some thought that Rafael Devers will get traded, and maybe they upgrade defensively there. But, yeah, you know, Philadelphia put together a roster that was, like, basically full of iron glove guys, like, you know, guys that just could not defend at all. And, you know, they have not won a World Series, but maybe they've been more competitive than what people expected. I think that it's just such an underrated part of team building is your ability to defend. And frankly, I don't want to say this is the biggest difference between the 23 and 24 Rangers, but it was a very noticeable and big difference that the Rangers were not nearly as good defensively in the outfield last year as they were the year before. And just overall, their defense was not as strong. And, you know, you can get away with Juan Soto in right or left field, wherever you want to put him, you know, if you put him with a really good center fielder, and maybe they feel like they've got that. But, I'm not surprised he's getting that money, though. I would pay that money if I felt like, you know, it fit within whatever our financial plans were. It's crazy. This guy, his numbers are remarkably impressive, and he probably hasn't even hit his prime yet just because of his age. It is incredible. I hope he stays healthy, and I'd love to know what we're saying about Juan Soto 10 years from now in terms of where he ranks among baseball's, you know, greatest hitters.
Last thing, give us what you know about Kyle Higgy, the Rangers' new part-time catcher, and then Sandlot Charities one more time.
Jeez. Or do we need to start practicing Higashioka on a daily basis?
Higashioka.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah. I remember talking to Jose Trevino about him when they were teammates with New York, and he loved the guy. And I always think that's interesting, you know, because they essentially were competing for playing time. And he always had great things to say about him. You know, I think Higashioka is, you know, very strong behind the plate. If you look at some of his metrics, maybe the blocking – you know, has some room for improvement, but, you know, he is well-regarded as a partner of the pitcher, right? You know, forget some of the statistical elements of that, but just being a great guy to work with. He had a really strong power season last year, 17 home runs and then 3 in the series against the Dodgers. And I just think in general, unfortunately, it didn't work out for Andrew Kisner with the Rangers, and I think that led to the Rangers maybe riding Jonah Heim in the lineup a little bit more than they would have liked early in the season, and it just didn't work out, and it wore him down. And I think that, you know, between Higashioka and Jonah Heim, I think the hope is that the Rangers collectively get a lot more production out of their catchers. And, you know, I don't think you're going to ask either guy to hit third, fourth, or fifth in your lineup, but if one of those guys is hitting, you know, in the bottom third of your lineup, I think you feel okay about it. And, you know, hopefully they can stay healthy and you know, together put up some good numbers, and less is more with Jonah Heim. We talked about that. And then Charity, again, if you want to hang out with you guys, DM or call Alec, 877-881-1053. Tickets are still available. Go to @JaredSandler on Twitter. Our auction is live until 7:30, and that includes the dinner with you guys per usual. And we'll see everyone out Sunday at Globe Life Field for a fun time on the field with some celebrities and fun and raising money for a good cause.
Awesome, man. Love the cause. Love the event. Thank you very much for jumping on with us.
Well, I appreciate it, and I mean this seriously. I really appreciate all the support you guys give. I've got such great teammates and you guys, and I appreciate the spotlight you put on the charity.
Man, I really thought just now that Mike was going to start opening a box or a bag of popcorn or something.
That would have been amazing, honestly. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, live from Palmer's in Dallas, off of Mockingbird. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Hey, we're going to talk some Cowboys, but also, man, the top 10 coolest cars in all of movies. Next on the Fan.